Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints to navigate the tumult of this difficult life and maybe the tumult of marriage, but not just talking about junk, talking about divine intimacy. Mm-hmm. The show is actually named after a great Carmelite, I think he's a saint, Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene, who put together these daily devotions called Divine Intimacy on the Interior Life. Mm-hmm. But there's also a divine intimacy, which means a God-centered love that a husband and wife can experience that is far better than anything the world offers. Mm-hmm. And so we use divine intimacy in several different ways. This is the third show in a series. We began with the miracle of getting this first class relic in Poland recently. The last show was Mystery of God's Gift. And today we're going to go deeper into that mystery, the wisdom of St. John Paul II, and how we can have an extraordinary relationship, not just in marriage, but how we can meet God in others. Mm-hmm. Before we jump in, I'm just struck by, you know, the New Testament. The last show I had these in my head and there was no place to fit it, but I've been very aware for years now, Jesus goes to the well and he's alone. Mm-hmm. And the woman approaches him. I've been very aware of the divine nature
appointment.
Of that appointment. Jesus goes into Jericho, very aware that he went there because Zacchaeus cried out to him, you know, and I have no doubt that woman at the well was like in misery, you know, and before she went out to the well that day, said, I can't handle this. I don't want another relation. This is not solving the ache of my heart.
Right.
And then she meets the source, well of, you know, the water of life, right? Mm-hmm. The healing water of life. So there's a way to meet God, and so many just don't understand it, see it, and because of that, they miss God's appointment. Mm-hmm. He sets them for us all the time.
Right.
But because we don't see the other and his presence in that context the way John Paul did, we don't see God. And so we feel very alone and hopeless.
Right. You know, as we started to talk about this, I've often shared at our Divine Intimacy marriage retreats, or we do a follow-up course on discernment of spirits in marriage that's really, really powerful, that I think where some of the breakdown, a lot of the breakdown happens in marriage, is that we do fail to see the other as a gift, and we start to see the other as my project, my burden, my problem. You're not doing what I want. And you know, I've often shared that you were not given to me in order for me to fix you.
Hmm.
You know, I am not called to fix Dan Burke.
Right.
Nor is Dan Burke called to fix Stephanie Burke. I am called to respect you, to love you and serve you. You are called to nurture, cherish, love and serve me, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we're going back to Ephesians 5, but this sense of you've been given to me as a gift to reveal me to myself, for me to learn how to love and serve completely, to love and serve as Jesus. You've often talked about how the proper stance in marriage should be the washing of the feet.
It's funny. I was thinking that the normative disposition of both parties in marriage, mm-hmm, should be the exact same thing that Jesus did to his disciples, which is washing their feet.
Yeah. And if we both focused on that completely, because mm-hmm, if, you know, just to give our listeners an image, if I spent all my time, how do I love and serve my husband? how do I ease his burdens? How can I be a healing balm in his heart? How can I make things easier for him? How can I feed his mind? How can I feed his body? You know, how can I feed his heart and his soul? You talked about how for you it was a little bit hard to get around the concept of loving in and through me when I asked the Lord to love you in and through me. What did that look like to me internally? It was the way I touched you, the way I looked at you, the way I received you, the way I provided for you with meals, the way I put our home together, the way I tried to manage the children as best that I could, to provide some sort of semblance of order and peace and goodness and community and love and family, right? Those are the ways that I, in my brokenness and very imperfectly, that was my desire to try. That's what I was attempting to do. And if we were to focus that way on our spouses in terms of that, rather than you're not doing what I want, I don't have what I want, you're not giving me what I want, you don't look the way I want, you're not acting or speaking the way I want, and fixing and being offended and, you know, whatever that is, no wonder marriages fall apart. Because the enemy is all up in that. He wants us to see our spouse rather than the gift that they are. He
as
wants
a problem.
As the problem, as you are the problem. Right?
You're the your spouse, you know, is the obstacle rather than the means of God's grace.
Right. It reminds it in this book of the givenness, the gift and entrustment. He said, as we grow, the Lord places more and more new people in our life's path. Every such person in some way is a gift for us. God has given you to me. This awareness becomes a source of enrichment for each of us. And this is what he says about the problem, right, that can arise. We would be in grave danger. We would be in grave danger were we to be unable to recognize the richness in each human person, the richness in my spouse. Right? The richness in my children.
And does he break open what the grave danger is? It's probably just spiritual peril.
Our humanity would be in peril were we to shut ourselves up only in our own selves and reject the broad horizon that opens out to the eyes of our soul as that opens to the eyes of our soul the years that go by.
So that means we're trapped in narcissism.
Right. We're turning in on ourselves.
And we're stuck in a pattern of sin.
Narcissism.
That cannot be broken.
Right.
Until we learn to love and receive love.
Yeah. In essence, what we're saying, love. When we turn in on ourselves, which is a lack of love, it's the opposite of love. It's narcissism. It's not hate. What we're saying, it's me, myself, and I, my needs, my wants, my ego, my desires. And when we can turn out from that, authentic love looks at the other as gift, love and service to the other. And what's beautiful is in and through that, he heals and restores us. And our needs, our wants, our desires that he's placed on our heart are a calling to have those answered and provided through our relationship with the Lord. And he does that through our self-giving.
You know, I wonder, just a thought, I know it's a little bit of a wander, but I've recently, our sacristan was not able to be at a few of the masses where we attended recently. And so I was the one who had to do the work. And I was really struck by, in some ways I don't like doing it because it's such sacred ground, if that means it's so holy to me. Mm-hmm. And a deacon asked me, would you like to say the reading? I'm like, I think that there's too many lay people running around the sanctuary these days. Mm-hmm. So why don't you do it? But so I have this profound awareness. It's a gift that he's given me. He's really present. Mm-hmm. This is very serious. And because of that, I'm able to meet him in the Mass more than if I didn't have that sense. Similar in relationship. Mm. if I realize you are sacred ground,
right?
You're not as sacred as the Lord, but the image of God is in you, and we're
tabernacles.
Yeah. But it is, in terms of the entirety of life, in terms of what is sacred, it's God, one, the human person, two, you know.
And nothing else comes close.
Carp and bass and, you know, Gila monsters don't rate.
Right, right, right.
That's it.
Right.
And so you if you want to talk about how sacred and how important these relationships are, seeing that. So when you have that reality, that you are sacred ground, the other is sacred ground. Right. God is present there. And this is one of the reasons I called you daughter of the King. I don't know. So I called you daughter of the King for two reasons. Do you know what they are?
Well, I asked you one time. First of all, I asked, like, what is that? Because you would write me emails, and there was four capital letters at the top of the email. It was D-O-T-K.
Right.
And I said, what is that? And you said, daughter of the King.
Uh-huh.
And then you explained to me. Well, you explain.
Well, there's two reasons. One is I wanted you to know that I saw you in the context of God. And that, and I probably said it in a very crass way, but if I don't care for you properly, I'm going to get my hiney whooped, because you deserve to be cared for properly as if you are what you are, which is a daughter of the most powerful reality in the entirety of the universe. One. The second one was to remind me of that reality. Mm-hmm. So the first was to remind you of your dignity, beauty, worth in God. The second was to remind me, you better treat her as sacred, because she is actually a daughter of God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, we're coming into a break. Was there any, maybe we can capture it after the break, but was there, it'd be interesting to talk about how that affected you, and
yeah.
Have I ever said it in a different
way? Let's talk about it when we get back from the break.
Okay. So when we get back from the break, we're going to continue talking about deeper into the mystery of God's gift and the writings of St. John Paul II, a piece that was published after his death, which is a little bit of a mystery in and of itself, called Givenness, a meditation that was written after his death. So we'll be back continue our conversation. Have you ever tried and wrestled with homeschooling your kids and just, you know, got frustrated and gave up? Or have you homeschooled your kids and just discovered that in the latter stages where you're getting into, as they're exiting the realm of high school, the subject matter is extremely complicated and intimidating? The Avila Institute has recently launched something called Mary, Queen of the Home Academy, to serve you just in these critical moments where you desire the best education for your child, but maybe don't feel quite equipped to take care of the things that they need, that you need to for them. Our professors, of course, the Institute staff, the Institute teachers are all men and women who pray, who know the church, who know church teaching in its depth, who are completely faithful to the magisterium, very deeply connected to tradition. If this at all sounds interesting to you, please check out Mary Queen of the Home Academy. You can find it at avila-institute.org. This is Dan Stephanie Burke. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio, talking about deeper into the mystery of God's gift and the presence of God, and how he reveals himself to us. Before the break, we were talking about how I used to regularly, I need to probably reignite that, call you daughter of the King to remind you of who you are and me of who you are. Mm-hmm. I don't know, how did that affect you? And have I ever explained it better? I don't know if I've explained it very well this time around.
No, that was what you explained to me, was, you know, that you were reminding yourself who I was. Uh-huh. And the responsibility that you had and how you cared and spoke to me and treated me, that you would stand before God one day and have to answer for how you treated
every
me.
Word.
Every word, right? And And it was interesting what that did. First of all, when you said it was Daughter of the King, I remember just being overwhelmed.
Did you recoil a bit?
It was more like a shock to my system. Mm-hmm. You know, this is interesting what's coming to mind. So when people have been deprived of water for a long period of time, you can't just give them a huge glass of water and have them drink a gallon of water. It will actually overwhelm their system and break them, right? The impact of hearing those words, because I was starving to death, thirsting for the Lord. I had been parched for grace and for goodness for so long that when it was shared with me, I almost couldn't take it in. I had to just kind of think about it, ruminate it. It was like getting a cold blast of air, a refreshing drink. And I was just like, wow, what is that? Because my own concept of self was so broken and so diminished and so crushed. I remember at one point somebody saying to me that I crossed paths with, "You're nothing. You're nothing." And it was as if Satan was speaking to me through this individual, right? And so the words of, "You're not nothing.
You're everything.
You're a daughter of the King."
Yeah.
"Of His Majesty Himself, you know, the greatest King of the universe. You have dignity and worth. You were created before all time
for a purpose.
For a purpose and a relationship with Him. That you know, man is the only creature on earth whom God willed for Himself. I was created because God willed me into being for Him. And then for you, and for our children, and for all those that He was going to entrust to us as we built this life together in our marriage." It was profound. It was almost too much for me to bear, you know? And I just, it's just so beautiful. It's beautiful. And how much we miss if we don't understand that reality, that God creates us as a gift for Himself. You know, it's interesting that back to Genesis, you know, that God has been called from the beginning to a likeness in being in Him, in God, right? And to a likeness in being with our spouse, right? That is why God created him male and female. In bringing her to man, God opened man's heart to awareness of gift. So the impact of Adam, and he's been put to sleep, the bone's been drawn from his side, a rib, and God forms, you know, Eve out of the clay and puts her together for him. That first moment when he sees her and he utters, you know, "Oh, this is finally flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone." It opened his heart to another.
And this loneliness dissipated.
And it was like, "Oh, this one's for me.
Yeah.
This is a gift for me," right? "She is from me and she is for me. Through her, I can become a gift because she herself is a gift for me," right? What a profound, profound.
I had this conversation yesterday. I think I told you about it. I may have, I haven't. It was with somebody who'd gone to the marriage retreat. And a while back, I got a phone call from this person. Says, "Please help. My marriage is going to end, you know." And then so they came to the marriage retreat. By the way, this describes a lot of couples now. We've received the same phone call over and over. "Please help, you know." So they came, both very intelligent people, both very well catechized, know the faith. One teaches the faith, you know, in a formal way. And he said something interesting to me. He expressed this joy and appreciation that his marriage was no longer where it was, you know, before the retreat. But he said something like, you know, I've heard some of the truths that you spoke about in the retreat, but never in the proper context. So, and if I could like extrapolate, you should treat one another better. Okay. Is that a good thing to say? Yeah.
Is it true? Yeah.
Is it true? If you treat the other better, will they treat you better? Most of the time it's true. You know, just all of the, you could come up with a bunch of axioms separated from the divine that are true, but they're devoid of power.
Right. They don't bring life.
Because they don't bring you back to God.
Right.
And what he said was, when you put all of that in the context of Catholic mystical tradition, which is what we do in divine intimacy and marriage, it went, it, and I'm paraphrasing, but it went deeper. It was more meaningful. The lights came on. It becomes much more substantial when it's not just an axiom from a secular thing, like, you know, you should treat each other better and in this particular mechanical way that works better. But God is present in all of this. And as I said to you, I will be judged for how I treat you, but I'll also be blessed.
Right. There's a divine truth to be discovered.
Right.
In a relationship that's properly ordered to God. There's, it's divine.
You and know, it has power because of that.
Right.
It's not just a secular, flat, lifeless, but somewhat good idea.
Yeah.
It's imbued actually with his presence.
Yeah. And it's interesting because we were speaking at the dinner table last night. Yesterday, by the way, when this was aired, was our
anniversary.
Yeah. Our 18th anniversary. Married on 7/7 of 07.
Not on.
That was the only Saturday we could get. And that was beautiful. But in such a profound grace. But what we were discussing was, is so, in context of the divine, so many people see marriage as this contractual kind of, well, if it doesn't work out, I'll just get a divorce or whatever, right? And they don't understand the power of the sacrament of marriage. And that when we invite God into, through this power of givenness, and when we're looking through that lens, and we're inviting God to every aspect of our relationship, from just everything in it, it takes on a divine power. It's fed by his grace, and it and then we become conduits of grace. He changes us individually, husband, wife, and then we change, and the world changes around us in and through that sacrament, lived in the fullness of what God has designed it to be.
And it's not a shallow, peripheral change.
No, this is a profound, profound interiority. Because it first, in this givenness, when we're revealed to ourselves, right, in this relationship, it first affects us interiorly with the Lord. That happens in our interior life. It's wow, what's happened? Who am I?
By the way,
who am I really?
And can I, this is an important thought, and I don't like to interrupt that, but one of the reasons we healed, you just described it, is daily mental prayer, which means pursuing union with God first.
Right. And then union with one another.
Yeah. Because that's where the power comes from.
Because taking that grace that we would receive in prayer and then bring it out into the other.
Right.
Right. Because if you don't have a relationship with God, now that doesn't mean you can't start here.
You can start in
wherever you are, because the Lord, if you do it with sincerity and openness of heart, the Lord's going to start meeting you wherever you are, and he's going to start to pour his grace upon it. But I don't want to miss this, in that what's fascinating is, in going back to the daughter of the king theme, right? That there's a profound gift in that woman is given to man. They come together, and then life is given.
Mm-hmm. And God's in that too.
It's actually his whole purpose. It's revealing, where it says in creating, let's see, woman.
John Paul II said, yeah.
Yeah, John Paul II says, woman is contained, as it were, woman contains, as it were, the final word of our Creator, the final word of our Creator. Womanhood denotes motherhood, and motherhood is the first form of entrustment of one man to another, right? And we're not going to be able to dive into this today, so it's going to have to carry on into our next show. But this entrustment of giving one person to another. So you're my gift. You're God's gift to me. I'm God's gift to you. We're to love and serve one another. Then children are brought forth. And then it grows out from there, this idea of entrustment. So it has a divine purpose, a divine grace that we are invited into receive if we see it properly.
So you've been blessed by this show. It's in a third of a series. It began with this miracle of receiving this beautiful relic of St. John Paul II in Poland recently. Check it out on spiritualdirection.com or our YouTube page, spiritualdirection.com's YouTube page. And please help us get the word out. We need you to do that. We're not rolling in funds like, you know, secular companies who make all kinds of money and are doing marketing. The only way we can reach new people, or one of the few ways we reach new people, is through you. So please subscribe, like, comment, tell us, you know, if this has helped you, let us know. Or if you have questions you want us to address in the next show, let us know in your response to the post. We're grateful for you and grateful to the Lord to be able to offer this wisdom of St. John Paul II to you in this series.
So until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.